Okay, everyone, I note that it is 1 o'clock, and it looks like we have a quorum, so we'll get started by asking the director to call the roll.
Yes, 1 second.
Present.
Present.
Rob Pearson.
Present.
Gabriel Gerdier.
Present.
Vincent Weaver.
Present.
Roberta Coombs is absent. Tony Maggio is absent. That is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 members constituting a quorum.
All right. Thank you. Second on our agenda is a review of the minutes, but I note that staff did not circulate any minutes. All right, so we'll just move on to the next item, which is the chairperson's report. And I note that the director and the staff have plenty to share, so I will defer to them and ask for the director's report.
Sure, thank you. The main thing that I want to share with you is information and update on Madam John's legacy. I've asked Tommy Milner, our legal counsel, to update us on the specifics of the stop work order and the jurisdiction of the Decree Commission, the state building, specifically this one.
Yes, well, I'm not sure which members were here at the last meeting or not, but at the last meeting there was discussion about Madam John's legacy, and there was discussion about how the city had no authority over Madam John's legacy. That struck me as being incorrect, and so Brian asked for an opinion, and so I informed the commission and Brian at that meeting that it was my understanding that the commission did have jurisdiction over state-owned buildings. And so the Brian asked for an opinion from our office, and an opinion was rendered on, I believe it's, this is a problem with printing on two sides of a paper. On November 22nd, that the city does have jurisdiction over state-owned buildings in the French Quarter, and that the Louisiana Supreme Court has rendered two decisions concerning the city, two important decisions concerning the city and the state, relative to the various authorities of the state versus the city. And the first of those decisions, and you have to understand that although the state has police powers to do throughout the state, the city has a home rule charter. And the home rule charter provides powers to the city. And so there's a so there's an issue as what are the powers of the city versus under its home rule charter versus what are the powers of the state under its under the Louisiana Constitution and its police powers. And in the first case that's of importance is a case involving the New Orleans Levee Board. And this was a case rendered in 1993 where the Levee Board was building a marina out there by the Lakefront Airport. And the Levee Board said, and the city said, well, no, hold on a second, you need to get building permits from us. And the state said, basically thumbed their nose at the city and said, no, we don't need no stinking building permits from you because we're the state of Louisiana. And the, is that in layman's term enough for you? Okay, because you asked me to describe this in layman's term. And so the, so that case went to Louisiana Supreme Court, and the Louisiana Supreme Court said, where the state has to follow the city's ordinances, building code ordinances and so forth, when it is not an essential state function. So when you're looking at the levee board, you had the marina the levee board had levees and the city could not, that's an essential state function, the city couldn't tell the state how to build the levees, but the marina was not an essential state function. And so the Supreme Court said, yes, you have to follow the city's ordinances. Then in 1999, there was a decision involving the Cabildo. And in that case, The View Correct Commission, which I should point out was not headed by Brian Brock at that time, went through and basically told the state of Louisiana concerning the fences around the Cabildo. And basically the state came to the city and they said, you know, we want to put fences, and the View Correct Commission said, okay, you know, you use this design, these materials, blah, 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 blah. And then when the state applied for a building permit, the View Correct Commission didn't give it to them. They said, we don't have to give you a building permit. And so that decision went also to the Louisiana Supreme Court. And what's important about that decision is that that decision talked about the levee board case, talked about how the city and the state have sort of concurrent jurisdiction, can be in harmony. But essentially, in that particular case, said that what the View Correct Commission, again, none of the present company was on that board, was totally arbitrary and capricious. And they specifically did not talk about, say that the View Correct Commission did not have jurisdiction over state-owned buildings. As a matter of fact, there's one critical line in this 1999 Cabildo decision, where it said that the court would not set aside sound decisions of the View Correct Commission. And I'll just quote it. It said, this court will not set aside the sound decisions of the city and VCC when those actions preserve and promote the constitutional trust imposed upon them. So the idea that the city, that the commission has no jurisdiction over the state-owned buildings is just wrong. It's completely wrong. But you have to exercise that jurisdiction in a fair manner. And that's what was not done in the Cabildo case. And somehow the Cabildo case got, seems to be been misread as saying, well, we don't have jurisdiction over state-owned buildings. That's just not the case. And so in this case, the city is exercising its jurisdiction in a sound manner. Because basically what the city is saying, you should do what the other state agencies are telling you to do. You're ignoring the advice of your own consultant. You're ignoring the advice of the Louisiana State Museum. You're ignoring the advice of the state preservation officer. And so all we want to do is, you know, and you're ignoring the historic, you know, national historical standards. And so the city is simply trying to get the state to preserve the building in the proper fashion. And so given those facts, you know, we concluded that, and let me just read the conclusion. We said it is likely that the courts will find that the commission has jurisdiction over Madam John's legacy so long as the commission acts reasonably, given that the state's contractor's actions are contrary to the recommendations of the state's consultant, the Louisiana State Museum, and the SHPO, the commission would be remiss in the constitutional trust imposed upon it if it did not take robust action to preserve this architectural gem. So we concluded that not only does the commission has jurisdiction over state buildings, but that the constitutional trust imposed upon the commission by the Louisiana Constitution requires the commission to exercise that trust, to exercise its jurisdiction, to make sure that this, nationally significant building is preserved. And so once we issued that opinion, I think Brian had a hot printing press. And you could take...
Yeah, we printed a snap recorder and we posted it that afternoon. So that was, I believe, November 22nd.
Yes.
It was the same day. Correct. So thank you very much. That's, you know, very, very eloquently put. Appreciate it. So just wanted to update everybody that after the stop work order was issued, They did indeed stop work. We did get a letter from Commissioner Jay Darden disputing, which we expected, disputing this opinion.
But let me just say something about that particular letter. Because in that letter, they cited certain state statutes that were the precise same statutes that were at issue in the levy board case. So, and in the levy board case, the Louisiana Fourth Circuit Court of Appeal sided with the state, citing those statutes. Okay, and then but then the Louisiana Supreme Court reversed the Fourth Circuit and said, no, you have to follow the state has to follow the when it's not an essential state function. That the state has to follow the city's building codes. So the fact that he cited those statutes and is just, you know, I mean, I was surprised because in fact we have a decision of the Louisiana Supreme Court saying that given those statutes and the city's ordinances, you have to follow the city ordinances when it's not a vital state function.
So yes. They did agree in this letter to stop the work for 10 days. And in the meantime, we scheduled a meeting on site last week with an associate director, our assistant director from Facility Planning and Control, who manages the job. And we met on site and went over all of the issues that had been forwarded to us from SHPO so that we could address the issues together. Such as, what is appropriate for the gallery poles, what is appropriate for the wall or piers at the ground floor, what is appropriate siding repair, etc. And it was a very good meeting. And then after that, I issued an after-action report outlining all of the things that we had reviewed and all of the things that we had agreed upon. And I can forward that letter to all of you. Commissioner Bergeron has seen it. So where we are now is we are planning a meeting tomorrow, a Zoom call, to go over this report with Facility Planning and Control so they can respond to my opinion of what was observed. And in this report, I also included what they agreed to do and what they agreed not to do. In a nutshell, and like I said, I'll send the report to you all. But in a nutshell, what we have recommended is that since this project was of a limited scope, it was only to be to take care of roof repair, seal the building, and to deal with some rising damp and moisture issues, that this was not intended to be a restoration project, that the work should only include things that do not permanently alter the term of the building. As you know, the gallery poles, the term gallery poles from 1820 have been removed. And there's some question about whether or not the roof structure can be supported by those poles now that the roof has been altered. And so what we've told them to do is install replacement poles that are obviously temporary. They're basically just like 6x6, 8x8 wood posts. They are not decorative in any way. And then below them will be similar wood posts to support the gallery, which supports the roof. So all of that would not be misconstrued as a contemporary intervention. Obviously there'll be some fencing that will go in between the posts at the ground floor to secure the property. In the meeting, I expressed concern that an engineer was not brought on site when they discovered that the roof was failing, that instead they followed the advice of the carpenter, who then modified the roof based on his own interpretation of what was going on and what was wrong, to which the representative of facility planning told me that there was an engineer's report, but I said that I was surprised to hear that because we'd never been made aware of that. And also Larry Wilson, who had been contracted by the State Museum to draft the report that was presented in March, refers to the fact that there was no engineer report. So she said she would produce the engineer's report, which she did, which is dated June 2023. So it only refers to work that took place, or conditions rather, that existed after the roof had been modified. So they're basically, in this engineer's report, calling into question the work that was done, because that is what ended up resulting in a problem with the 200-year-old posts being able to support the roof structure. So that's something that I intend to talk to them at length about tomorrow. So there are other things that, you know, included the siding, paint needs to be analyzed, etc. But all in all, it was a really good opportunity for us to express our concerns. Marguerite Roberts, our inspector, joined me and took exhaustive photographs of the building and the site, which is a great opportunity for us to be able to be on site and document the work that's happened and the condition of the building, which is great. We did find materials on site such as quikrete and eritus, which would never be allowable on a perforated building. They had told us that they were going to be retaining all of the materials that had been removed on site. And they did show us the bricks that were that they had on site that was from the chimney that had come down. They showed us roof shingles and some heavy timber sills that had rotted. But we asked to see the turn roof columns, and they were not on site, and they were unsure as to where they were, which is very disappointing. So I'll be asking about that again tomorrow as well. So that's the status of things, and I will continue to keep you posted. And I will email the report to you all this afternoon.
All right, thank you. Yeah, any questions for the director?
So with all this happening, one, there's no permit that VCC is going to be in a position to give the state. This is just, everything is just being done on a sort of still courtesy level. There's no, it sounds to me, even though VCC has the right, there's not going to be any real enforcement of anything or can be of
correct. I mean, right now, the only thing that we've authorized them to do is to seal the roof.
Okay.
Because the roof needs to be tight.
Okay.
And so, and that is explicit in the report that, that's, you know, the stop work order is still in place, except for the roof. So beyond that, we haven't gotten this, you know, after the meeting tomorrow, I'm hoping. What my hope is that we will issue a permit to continue the work, and that they will follow our recommendations that were, you know, that we concluded on site, and we will continue to work together. You know, what we're trying to avoid is an acrimonious relationship with the state, and I think that that's what they want as well. It seems to me that they, this is somewhat speculative, but I don't think that the state sees it to be in their best interest to be suing the city of New Orleans when the city of New Orleans is only trying to preserve the building from the work that they're doing in deviation of their own consultant. So that is my opinion as to why they are willing to work with us. So we will definitely codify it with a permit, for sure. But right now, we're just sort of like in a little bit of a negotiating space.
But at the end of the day, the stop work could mean nothing. I mean, they could just start working again. What is the
that would
recourse?
I think that, and I'm not willing to talk about this in an open meeting.
But I think there are
legal strategies that I think the city can employ to enforce its stop work order.
Yeah, just because they don't seem to have been great partners so far.
Right.
I don't want to speak to where they are right now, and they're not working on it. So.
Brian, is it your opinion after the inspection that it's not possible that those 1820s columns will support this new roof?
That's not my opinion.
Okay,
and,
I wasn't sure.
No,
I haven't seen.
And it's a great question, and I'll also forward the engineer's report, which is rather interesting in that they have a drawing of the building with the turn columns indicating brackets. So the engineer says that it needs to have brackets, but shows them on the turned columns. Whereas the carpenter who's making the decisions, said that the brackets couldn't be attached to the term columns, but can only be used on square columns. So based on their own engineer's report, you know, we could entertain brackets as long as we were able to retain the term columns. So I'm glad you asked that, because it's very, very interesting.
I do have one question. As far as, have we done, I guess, research on the other coin to make sure that they don't get legal involved to see if there's cases back in the day that BCC has overruled that could contradict kind of the outcome that we want today as far as stop work because of the
that's a good question the two, as I said, these are Louisiana, the cases I cited to you were two Louisiana Supreme Court cases. Sure. There's nothing since those cases that would change.
Okay.
And I think that the city, again, I don't want to reveal legal strategy in an open meeting, but I believe that there are things that the city can do to enforce a stop work order if the state indicated that they were not going to follow the stop work order.
Gotcha. Okay. Just want to think on the other side.
Let's finish with the discussion amongst the commission. We'll ask for public comment after we're finished.
Okay, I just wanted some clarification.
Thank you. Commissioners, any other questions? I think it is our position that if the state is not willing to go along with what we believe is our duty to preserve this building, then we'd be asking the city to back us up legally and all the way to the top if we got to.
Well, we wouldn't have issued that this opinion if it wasn't otherwise.
Yeah, and it's really unfortunate that this opinion has come 12 months later. This has been an ongoing issue, and more damage has happened to the building over the past year. But the state owns a lot of property in the French Quarter, and I think we got to draw a line in the sand and figure out who's in charge around here. One way or the other, so this doesn't happen to any other buildings that they own. Do we have any public questions or comments?
My question is, because this gone on so long, I've kind of lost track.
Could you introduce yourself for
Nikki
the recording?
Oh, Nikki Zielinski, 1011 Single, French Quarter Citizens. The roof was altered, and that's not ever going back to what it was, or was it altered back to what it really originally was? I've lost track.
No, it was not altered back to the original condition. It was... well, put it this way. I'll say it's inconclusive because this was not done with plans that were ever reviewed or approved.
Okay.
So what we have is the testimony of, well, not even testimony, but the commentary from the carpenter who did the work, who stated, and I probably won't even get this right because it's not very well documented,
okay,
is that when they got on site and they discovered that the rear roof slope was sliding off, their words. And so what they did is they worked to re-engage the roof to the ridge.
Uh-huh.
And that has altered the relationship of the front beam to the tops of the existing columns, to where the columns are no longer adequately carrying the load of the roof at the front gallery.
And none of this could be reversed.
I don't have any information on that. I'm not an engineer.
None of this was documented.
Yeah, it would. Yeah. You know, what we asked the state is, why wasn't an engineer who is a specialist in 18th century heavy timber roof construction, you know, consulted? Because it isn't just a structural engineer that needed to take a look at this, but somebody that understands the intricacies of such a complicated roof system,
right,
and a very complex roof. So I'm not an engineer, so I can't comment on, you know, what would be the appropriate remediation at this point. I don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
So,
no, I was just wondering if we're going to be able to kind of go back in time at all.
That's a very good question. And I think at this point there isn't funding for that extensive engineering to take place. And at this point, what we need is the building to be secure so that it can, you know, these decisions can be made with a historic structures report, which is part of the report that, that I'm going to be forwarding, and that no work should be done other than securing the building until a historic structures report has been drafted, and that can be used as a, as a, as the guidepost.
Okay, thanks.
Sure, thank you. Yes?
Just turn columns. I mean, you don't, we don't know what they are.
They, as of Thursday at our meeting, they said they didn't know where they were. But these are people from Baton Rouge. They were not people that had been working on site. So they might legitimately not have known at the time where they were. I mean, I, there was only...
I mean, it seems to me that that's the biggest
thing. Oh, huge.
And they're square at the time.
Right.
So they can receive it,
right? Well, they were, yes, they could. And definitely according to the engineer. So, yeah, so that's a major, major concern. That being said, not all of the ones that were on the building are historic. A lot of them were replacements, you know, some of them as early as the 70s. So, you know, there was some rot, there were some things that needed to be replaced. But there were some that were probably from 1820, at least two. So, yeah. So, if there are no further questions, I had meant to do this before I started the director's report. I wanted to introduce our new office worker. This is Tisha Pearson.
Hello.
We are extremely excited to have her with us. Our first VCC, you know, assistant I think we've ever had. This will be a wonderful, wonderful addition to staff. So she will be taking on a lot of the work that we all do and making us a lot more efficient. And so we're very excited. Tisha comes from, Tisha comes from the adjudication side. The enforcement side of safety and permits. So she knows the ropes, she knows how to use Llama. This is just that we could not have had a more wonderful candidate for this position, so we're very, very excited.
Thank you. I'm really excited.
Welcome. Anything else on our new office worker or Madam Johns? All right. Next up on the agenda, is, under other business, is a review of the 2022 to 2023 Commissioner Attendance Report. We circulated this at the last month's meeting. Does anyone have any comments on that report? I think the bylaws technically call for the director to issue a report to the mayor's office just to give them an update as to how the commissioners are performing in their seats. And really to make sure that folks are adhering to the 75% attendance requirement. I noted that there were four commissioners who did not meet that 75% requirement. Two of them have since have resigned, and they resigned before we even issued this report. Commissioner Toombs is not here, and Commissioner Veneziano was on maternity leave for a number of those meetings. So, and still, Commissioner Veneziano made 60% of the meetings in that 12-month period. So that would just be something to note as an extenuating circumstance related to our vice chair here.
Sure.
Yep.
And we will submit that report to the mayor's office this week.
Excellent. Thank you. There's nothing else from y'all on that. We'll move on to old business, 1039 Burgundy Street. We do have an applicant here, so let's have the staff report.
1039 Burgundy is a green-rated main building with an orange-rated attached service building and garage. This is a proposal to install a new opening at the rear of the green-rated main building per application and materials received May 24, 2022 and November 21st, 2023, respectively. The applicant proposes to install a new 8-foot 10-inch tall opening on the rear elevation of the main building adjacent to an existing opening that has already been approved for modification. The existing opening is atypical and likely dates to a 1960s renovation that included construction of the orange-rated service aisle. It will be altered to match the historic square-headed French doors that face Ursuline and Burgundy. While there is no brick scarring to indicate that there was previously an opening here, it would be typical to have one. No shutters will be installed at either opening, which is also typical of openings on the rear of a main building. The design guidelines state that, quote, the arrangement, size, and proportions of window and or door openings are key components of the building's style and character. As a result, the modification or addition of a window or door opening is discouraged, particularly on a more prominent building facade. The committee noted that this elevation is not street-facing and that the proposed change is a modest one, especially considering how the building has evolved and changed over time. They found the work conceptually approvable with final details to be worked out at the staff level.
Thank you. Applicant, would you state your name, address, and relationship to the property?
John Williams. I'm an architect for 1039 Burgundy Street. And we just really appreciate the staff and the architectural committee. There's a robust discussion on this, and the outcome being that you all are recommending it. And this is a very good shot, but I think it really does complement the green-rated building, and it's in a courtyard, you know, adjacent to the orange-rated building. And we think this is appropriate, and I'll turn it over to Patrick, who's also the project architect.
Patrick Capello, 824 Barone, with Williams Architects. I agree with pretty much everything in staff analysis and the committee action report. And I especially agree with the kind of point that Brian Block made, that the openings on the other side of the green-rated building that face Ursuline and Burgundy are all spaced in twos and threes. This would be the only opening that would be a singular opening. So I think putting an opening next to it, if anything, brings rhythm all the way around the building, rather than just having this one singular opening to replace the particularly ugly opening from the 60s.
All right, thank you. Commissioners, do you have any questions for the staff, for the applicant?
I had a couple of questions, just because I don't know the history of the work too well. Based on some of the photos and the proposed work, all the electrical transoms and doors are being removed and being switched out for something that's a little bit more, to provide a little bit more continuity between all the openings.
Gives you the continuity of all the other windows that face the two streets, yes.
Okay, and then I noticed that it looked like the door head heights on the garage are at 8 feet versus everywhere else, where it looks like you're at about 8'10". What was the reasoning for that?
The ceiling height in the orange-rated part of the building is different from the ceiling height in the green-rated part of the building.
Okay.
That these would be adjacent.
Which is historically typical. I mean, if anything, the openings on the orange-rated service cell are maybe... there's not enough of a size difference between the main building and the service hall, since they're still pretty close, but that is something that you would typically see.
Okay. And what about the curve? Are y'all an identical curve at the bottom of the door, or is it below?
In the courtyard, there's a curve now that we're going to extend out and then wrap the other way towards the other doors. But we're not adjusting the height of it or anything.
Exactly. So y'all dialing into the brick, or y'all removing the brick in where the curb is? In the architectural committee, we're going to take the brick and use that brick to make sure that it's the original brick when we adjust the openings.
I think you mean for the curb underneath these doors?
Correct, yeah.
We don't intend to alter the brick. We'll put it against the curb.
Okay,
Commissioners, any other questions? Or discussion? Do we have any public comment? I see no public comment. Applicant, any final words?
No. Thank you again for the staff and the architectural committee to work this out.
All right, commissioners, are we ready for a motion?
I make a motion to conceptually approve this opening with details to be worked out at the staff level.
Do we have a second for that?
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. None opposed. The motion passes. Thanks, y'all. Thanks for coming in. Last on our agenda is ratification of Architectural Committee and staff action since the Wednesday, November 15th BCC meeting. Have you commissioners had a chance to review those attachments? Do you have any comments or questions? Do we have a motion to ratify?
So moved.
All right, do we have a second?
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right, none opposed. Motion passes, yes.
Normally for the review minutes, when that's deferred, we do have a formal motion on that, and there was not one today.
Okay.
Can we get a formal motion for that deferral?
Sure, yeah. Do we have a formal motion to defer reviewing the minutes?
I'll make Motion to defer the minutes to the next meeting.
I'll second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
None opposed. That motion passes. I think that concludes our business here. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. None opposed. We are adjourned. The time is 1:36.
Thank you all.
Steve, will you press the button?